Shabbat Shalom, everyone. When I was a teenager, I was introduced to the wonders of serious Jewish study. The Bible, Talmud, philosophy. It was all new to me at the time, and it was tremendously exciting. But back then, I wasn't an observant Jew, so I didn't keep kosher. And Friday night was more of a night to go out than it really wasn't quite yet Shabbat. And as I began to continue to study, I found myself facing that question. Should I practice more of my religion? Should I keep kosher? Shabbat? Should I start going to synagogue? And at the time, I was unsure. So I used to wander around my college campus late in the evening. I suspect that's where my coffee habit began. But I'd wander around late in the evening on my college campus trying to figure it all out. And one night, I remember thinking, if God wants me to be an observant Jew, all I need is a sign. All I need is a sign. I knew it wasn't going to happen, but I thought, if God, who had created the world, parted the sea, spoke to the Israelites from Mount Sinai, and guided out people through 40 years in the wilderness, is one sign for me too much to ask? And that's the question that many of us confront. How come God is so active in the Bible, but now, when we face crisis, when we face uncertain times, there are no burning bushes, fires from the sky, or divine voices? So one possible answer to this question is that there are signs of God all around us, we just don't recognize them. Some of us know this. There's the story about a town, and the town is going to be flooded. And all of the residents prepare to evacuate the town. But one particularly religious man, he refuses. He figures, I'm going to stay here, and God is going to save me. So the flood begins, and a lifeboat passes by, and the people on the lifeboat, they say, come on, the flood's coming, hop aboard. And the man says, God will save me. So the water keeps on coming, the flood worsens, and another lifeboat goes by. And the people on the boat, they again say, come on. But he says, no. The religious man says, no, God will save me. Finally, the water has reached a great height, and the last lifeboat comes by, and they plead with him, but again the man refuses. God will save me. So the man drowns. He goes to heaven, and he sees God. He approaches God, and he says, you know, I have been a righteous man my entire life. I've been religious. I've given tzedakah. I've done the whole thing. How could you let me drown in the flood? And God looks back at this man and says, what are you talking about? I sent three boats. I do believe that God acts in our lives. I'm not sure how. I'm not sure when. And I'm not sure why. And when tragedy occurs, and there is no apparent sign of God, I don't have the answer. But I do believe, I really do believe that sometimes God lends us a helping hand. The ability to see God in the lifeboats is the ability to see God's invisible hand guiding the world. It's not obvious, it's not predictable, but it's there. And to see the invisible hand of God working in the world, that is a bracha, that is a blessing. But the question remains, why does God send lifeboats? In other words, why are there no explicit signs that without a doubt establish this is from God? In the Bible, there are lots of clear signs from heaven. In this week's parsha, we learn of several, including the high priest had a breastplate. And within the breastplate, there was something called the Urim and the Tumim. And the Urim and Tumim were two instruments that would light up. They would light up to reveal the will of God to the entire community. When the community was facing a struggle, when they were facing a difficult situation, the breastplate would light up and guide the people to the correct answer. And then let's think about Moses. How did Moses know that it was his obligation to go save the Israelites? God appears in a burning bush. But today, there are no burning bushes. When I was wandering around my college campus, there was nothing that I would rather have seen than a burning bush at the student union, but it did not happen. And it wasn't going to happen. And today, I am convinced that if there were, in fact, burning bushes today, if there were clear signs of God all around us, it would lead to the destruction of our humanity. So in order to explore this, I want us to consider a theory offered by a Bible scholar, Richard Elliot Friedman, in his book, The Disappearance of God. Friedman suggests that as the Bible progresses, God's presence diminishes. Think about it. The Bible begins with the creation of the world, and God is the creator, a very active creator. And as humanity emerges, God is still present. There's Noah and the flood, the plagues in Egypt, the revelation at Sinai. But then God takes a step back and begins to work through the prophets. Moses, Joshua, King David, Solomon, Ezekiel, Jeremiah. And then as the Bible continues to move on, God continues to step away from the world. And finally, as we see next month during Purim, in Megillat Esther, God is not even mentioned. Well, that's hard to swallow. The rabbi just told us a theory in which God leaves the entire world. But there's an upside. Because by stepping away, God gives us the room necessary to realize our potential. In the Bible, as God becomes less visibly active, the people begin to take more and more responsibility. In the beginning of the Bible, Noah needs God's specific instructions to save the world. But by Megillat Esther, Esther and Mordechai don't need a miracle to save the Jews. They do it by themselves. And following the Bible in our literature comes the Talmud. And the Talmud is where the most exciting Jewish conversations take place. The Talmud is a forum for thoughts, and it's where ideas are exchanged and philosophies are cultivated. The Talmud is where our free-thinking minds rise to greatness. And the Talmud sets the stage for how we as Jews have lived for the past 2,000 years. But if during the discussions in the Talmud, or at any point in the past 2,000 years, there was a burning bush that provided the answer, we would have stopped thinking. We would have stopped listening to one another. We would have just waited. We would have waited and hoped for another sign from God to provide more answers. And eventually we would have become like robots or computers, waiting for and completely dependent on a command. By stepping away, by becoming less visible, God gave humanity a gift, the ability to mature. Think of it like a child and a parent. A newborn baby needs constant parental involvement. And a little child, they still need their parents, but not quite as much. And then there comes a time when the child is no longer a child, and he or she is off to live on their own. Of course, a parent like God is still there. A parent like God is still present, still cares, still loves. But like a parent, needs to give a child some room to grow. By stepping away, God gives us an opportunity to mature. And in a way, unlike the man with the lifeboats, we prove ourselves to be more mature by needing less wonder, less miracles to feel God's presence. In other words, our ability to see God in the birth of a baby, and the love of a family, and in the support of a friend, that we don't need burning bushes and splitting seas, that demonstrates our maturity. Most often, I think that we as human beings, that we are mature, and that we make God proud. We care for each other, we love one another. And there are times when I think God is disappointed in humanity. The Holocaust, or today in Darfur. A miracle from God could solve it all. All our problems could go away. All our mistakes would be clear and they would be vanquished. But then what? Instead of bravely facing the world, instead of stepping forward, we would live our lives constantly looking over our shoulders, always looking to be shown the way, and never confident enough to live life on our own. And at that point, we lose God's greatest gift, the gift of our humanity. I want to leave you today with a story and a prayer. The story is from the Talmud. Rabbi Eliezer has a disagreement with the other sages who are led by Rabbi Yoshua. And disagreements in the Talmud are very common. So Eliezer says yes on a certain matter, and everyone else says no. And Rabbi Eliezer is so sure that he is correct, he asks God to intervene on his behalf and for God to send miracles to prove that he is correct. And God complies. First, all the surrounding trees are uprooted, and then the water in the nearby river starts to flow backwards. But still, Rabbi Yoshua and the rest of the sages, they do not accept Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. And finally, down comes the voice of God from heaven. And God asks Rabbi Yoshua, who led the no crowd, he asks Rabbi Yeshua why he and the rest of the sages refuse to listen to Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Yeshua stands up to God and explains, "We do not rely on miracles from heaven to make laws for down on earth." And at that point, God smiles and laughs and says, "My children have defeated me." Rabbi Yoshua reminds God that we cannot live according to miracles, because clear signs from God will leave us incapable of living independently. All of us face struggles, times in our lives when it would just be easier to have a clear sign, clear divine direction, a burning bush. And we all see awful things in the world, things that we want to change, and things that we hope God could just make vanish. My prayer is for us to stand strong, to live strong according to the values we have learned, the convictions we share, and the love we feel. and may the strength of our independence serve all humanity for good and blessing, allowing God to look down on us from above, proud of all that we have done, proud of all that we will do, and most importantly, certain that humanity will never again need a burning bush to save the world. Shabbat Shalom.